March 13th, 2012. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. I'm in Pedro, but I am not at the Love Grotto with Brother Matt. I'm not at my own pad. I'm at the jungle here. Brother Shane's music greenhouse, or cultivator, instigator, incubator.
Yeah. You plant a lot of seeds in here.
Thanks for having me aboard. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing a Blues Legacy, and then we heard Sawako doing Untitled Long Bass. That's not bass with two S's, that's the one with the E. But it's okay.
It's okay.
Shane here has been a Pedro musician a long time, but what I want to do is start at the beginning here of your musical journey. What's your first musical memories you have as a boy?
Playing a ukulele when I was 5 years old. My mom and dad, I know they got me a ukulele, and I think I still have the lesson book. They wanted me to take lessons. I don't know why they wanted me to do the ukulele.
You got that uke before you really understood records or
sounds? I didn't understand any of that.
Yeah.
But it's a memory, though.
Yeah, sure.
And those memories are like seeds, man.
Did you ever ask him later why the uke?
No, I never did. But it was funny, though, because I kept that. It's not a Mel Bay book, but it was one of those ones, you know, from way back when. And it still has writing from that instructor that gave me some kind of lessons to do. I can't remember. But I just didn't do nothing for a 6-7-year-old kid. It just doesn't do it, man. Not for me, no way.
Maybe because they're small and your hands are small still. Maybe that's,
I think it's because of, you know, the going through the tulips with me, you know.
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim, yeah. My mom must have liked him a lot or something.
He could play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arthur Godfrey. There were some cats rocking it. On the plane back from England, I saw a thing on George Harrison. He started getting into ukulele.
You know, as I've gotten older, I've noticed, I appreciate it a lot more, especially if you get these bluegrass bands, you know, that they got all these wonderful acoustic instruments, and they just fly, you know, like, it's, wow, it's unbelievable.
So you're getting instructed in ukulele, but it ain't doing it for you?
Not then.
Okay. So you kind of put it down?
I did.
Okay. You're listening to records? Can you remember your first records you got?
Sure do. Absolutely. It was Motown. Chi-Lites.
Chi-Lites.
Have you seen her?
Yeah.
Tell me, have you seen her? Way before Hall & Oates, you know?
He can sing good, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's in that tradition, in fact.
Oh, I understand, clearly. But I mean, when you're listening to KCLW, I think was the call letters. And I had a little microphone, so my mom and dad wouldn't, because they could hear it through the heater vent, you know, and they were just going crazy, man. Turn that shit off, Shane.
Was that here in Pedro?
No, that was in Windsor, Ontario, Canada.
Wow. Windsor.
Yeah.
Across from Detroit, of course. Sure. That's Montana.
That's right. Oh, that's right. That's where I got all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, and in fact, George Clinton recorded there and stuff with Windsor musicians.
Windsor.
I've heard stories about it. Yeah, because there was a connection.
Windsor is it's an industrial town, you know, because of the auto factories.
Sure,
the big three are over there. And most of the people in that town are 280-something thousand are working through the auto factory one way or another.
Yeah.
But that, you know, when I first got hooked on the guitar and I was really loving music, then that town, it rocks. They hit all kinds of music every time.
I never got to closest I've played there in Canada is London.
In that town, if you're going to play a club, you're going to have a three-way PA, you know, bass, mids, highs, with the horns, and somebody working monitors, and another one doing lights, and they all got bars. And every single bar is like that. There's not a single bar where you can get away like you can in Pedro over here with 410 cabinets, you know, 410-inch speakers, two little towers, a little Fender, like a little master voice of the theater type of thing. Yeah. You can't get away with that shit over there, man.
So Windsor had a live scene.
Oh, yeah.
I know there's bands out there, you know, my friends in the Stooges, they told me about, and in the 60s, it was a happening thing.
Right. Still across is.
The river. And there always was a connection, the Prohibition thing. Oh. The Purple Gang running the booze.
Yeah.
There's always been a connect.
I got friends with their parents that did that stuff.
Okay, you're from Windsor, okay. Yeah, last year I was on tour, and I've driven through there a bunch, but never played there.
I gotta play there. It's the coolest thing, man, because once you get old enough, when you're a kid over there, and then you can go to Detroit. I used to go to, like, to the Soup Kitchen, Ethel's Lounge in Detroit. I go see Albert King down at Ethel's Lounge, and down at Soup Kitchen, I see Albert Collins and stuff like that. And like, I was like, that's when Michigan had the drinking age at 18.
Yeah.
And so you can go into these places there, and I see Albert Collins, man, when I was 18 years old, and I think, well, holy cow, man, holy cow, that guy plays so cool.
18. Now we're jumping ahead.
Oh yeah, we are. Right. But
right,
still,
you're in the chai lights.
Yeah, but you got to remember, all that was from learning how to appreciate it underneath my pillow.
Sure. And well, when's the move to the guitar?
Oh, that's wow, man. I got pictures. They're on the walls. What am I talking about? I was in grade eight, whatever age that is.
What is that? 14, 15?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
13 maybe.
And what was it?
Electric guitar.
Yeah, but who
made it? Pan. Pan.
Pan.
Okay. It looked like an SG.
Okay. Okay. And an amp came with it?
I bought a brand new Marshall then.
Okay.
I had a paper
Marshall. Wow. You need a big sound.
Yeah, I had 100 watt fucking Marshall, man.
What made you think right away to get a big amp like that?
Because Ted Nugent had one in the Amboy Dukes.
That makes good sense. So you're going to gigs then. You're seeing these people play.
Oh, man. As soon as I got picked up the guitar, I was going to gigs and having an adult take me. Always.
Okay.
I saw Bob Seger when he was doing high schools.
Yeah. Bitches. So you get a pan guitar and a Marshall amp. And what are you doing, jamming in the bedroom?
In the bedroom, in the basement. And wait for
man alone, though. No band yet.
Oh, I have, man.
Right away.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how'd you start learning on that guitar? Off records?
That's the only way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right away, you say to your buddies, come on, let's make a band with Cats from School?
I had a paper route. Okay. And when I was going on a paper route, I heard these guys play drums and bass in this one garage. So I just stopped the paper route and went and knocked on the garage, opened it up, and there they were.
I mean, there was dudes already jamming.
Yeah.
Ah.
And they were my age. So it was perfect.
And you didn't know them. They're just on your route.
Yeah. It's kind of like it still is today.
So you, wow, I hear you making some sounds there. Can I join in?
That's right.
Oh, man. Now, this band, this is your first band then. Okay. Are you guys just jamming?
If I lean back 1 foot,
yeah,
go in that cabinet right there,
yeah,
I can pull out a lyric sheet that I wrote
from those days.
With those kids.
So right away you were writing songs. But you were copying records too, so you guys were playing some covers also.
Oh, absolutely.
But you were still writing right away.
Right away.
Yeah, I bet you.
Can't Find My Band was the first song.
Can't Find My Band.
That's right. How the hell do you remember that? Wow.
Hey, people, we're going to play you some Shane right here. Here's something called Looking Ahead, even though we're looking back.
One more for love, man. Thank you.
takes a little while to get your own bearing right. Sometimes, little mama, takes a little while to get your bearings on right. In your head and your heart. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Starting that up was Shane O'Brien with Looking Ahead. And then we heard I'm a King Bee by the Dirty Beaches. Brother Alex. And then we heard Charles Hollis Jones by Grant Hart. You know who Grant Hart is, LG?
Sure do.
That's right. He ain't playing much drums these days, but he wants to. Yeah, he's got plans for me, he says. And then finally we had Little Nose by the Redneck Manifesto. Those are some Irish cats. I got to play with in Tokyo last year. This last fall. They were bad. There's a lot of young people. Yeah, Ireland's got quite a scene of bands.
I bet.
A lot of them instrumental. And dudes just tearing it up. Tearing it up.
They make use of different kind of key patterns for themselves. Like for their melodies.
Sure. A lot of that, goes back to the fiddle and that. These guys kind of translate that to the electric guitar.
Right.
Or they do these trippy open tune-ins and amazing cats.
Neat stuff to their experience playing with them.
Yeah, it is. It was very inspiring and very young, in their 20s and shit, tearing it up.
Right.
Their own sounds and... I got to the North End and the Republic, both parts. I got to play with bands from there. And
is there a difference?
No, not with music.
Okay, I was wondering.
There's not even a border there now. Now when you drive,
yeah.
You don't even know, except the signs are in miles instead of or meters or kilometers instead of miles, which is a good thing, huh? Yeah, it's a great thing.
Absolutely. Oh,
and
yeah,
their sounds are like. They're going for it. I have a lot of respect. Scenes all over the place, believe it or not. Yeah. Maybe it's not so much known about in the Mersh world, but in the circles I travel, I see it and stuff, and there's a lot of good energy with the young people trying to come up with their own sounds. Back to your story, as you were younger, looking for my band.
I can't find my band. Yeah.
First song you wrote, you even got the words here.
Yeah.
And your documentary.
LT, I told him we were going to do this show here a couple days ago, and he made an observation to me. He goes, Shane, you're an archivist.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Archivist, that's
it. I am too.
And so,
not shit hoarder.
No.
I'm the shit hoarder.
Well,
it's a good thing.
I cleaned this room to get rid of a lot of shit to make sure it was nice and pretty when you got here.
It's righteous. I like stuff like this because it's only one. It's individual. It's like your thumbprint. Okay, you're playing with these guys. You're jamming in their garage, obviously, was the prac pad. When do you guys do your first gig? Or did you ever do gigs?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I wasn't there. You got to tell
me. Oh, yeah. Well, I think we made it through like a... We started getting into high school together, so it was grade 8, grade 9, whatever. At grade 9, yeah. Then we started doing the talent things for the high school. The assemblies, I forgot what they're called, talent assemblies. And then that's when we started learning how to party too, though. So we kind of had to handle a little bit every time, but we couldn't go on any of the functions that were not musically related, because they would relate us to. That band, that guys. They can't go on the camp trips with the youth committee or whatever the things were called,
Yeah.
Yeah, there's none of that.
Were you bringing songs into the band?
Yes.
Or was the band writing together? No, you'd bring them in.
I'd bring them in.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I sang them too, you know.
Right. So they were kind of a rhythm section for you?
In retrospect, for sure.
Yeah.
But actually, a rhythm section that... we got that camaraderie thing, when you're young, and so it was there was never a question whether we would do it, What do you got for us today?
Oh, like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it was power trio?
That's it.
Yeah. I'm partial.
Yeah.
more room in the van.
Yeah. Oh, man, do we love speakers.
So, you guys, you're probably playing keggers, two parties and stuff.
In Canada, the kickers thing wasn't a big deal.
Oh, different.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a little colder.
It's a little colder.
Yeah.
We would have bush bashes, they're called.
Okay.
So,
what's a bush bash?
Well,
more in the woods?
Yeah. Well, you when you live in a city like Windsor, man, you go about 20 minutes out on a freeway or you know, the only freeway around.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're on county highway number two.
Yes.
And county highway number two, we know somebody.
I think the road through Windsor is number three. Highway three?
I believe it's two. I believe it's two, and then the 101.
The big guy that goes across.
Yeah, the Trans-Canada Highway. Yeah. But I think
for some reason I'm thinking of number three.
Well, does that tell you the truth, Mike? You know, I'm a little hot, hazy and all that, you know, because I moved out of there when I was 19, so.
It's a little wild, though.
Yeah.
And White ain't that far, but he's still hazy.
I tell you, you know what? Right, I'm saying I'm right with you.
So you're playing out in the woods, these bush bashes.
Yeah.
What, you guys got a generator and you set up?
Exactly.
Badass.
Exactly. Oh, man, I tell you what.
Now, was there a scene? Other bands?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Windsor had a scene, a lot of young people making bands.
You know, the funniest thing about
what,
it...
What era we're talking?
Oh, man. We're talking like 19... Do I have to? Wow.
How old are you?
74, 72?
So we're talking 70s. Okay, yeah. Early 70s.
There, I did it.
Cool. You'd be surprised how young people want to know about those days.
You know, those days are so cherished for me, man. So cherished. Back then, that's when I started going about 50-50 on the original mix, and I never even knew that's what I was doing. It was just a natural thing to do. That's all there's to it.
Yeah.
And when we go to these bush bashes out in Essex County, back of some farm field, you know, there was some road going that they had for service road, and it would take you into the little forested area, and like you said, we'd have campfires, and like there'd be like 50 cars there, you know, and there'd be like four or five different bands, and nobody knew the other bands were coming, but everybody was so cordial to each other.
Sure.
We'll play first, you play next, you play next, let's play again, you know. And it was really great. The next day when you go to leave, though, after 2 days later, you'd be driving over beer bottles like, oh, man, you cannot not miss them, you know. Some guys would make money just collecting the debris.
Now, did this band have a name?
Mandrix.
Mandrix.
Yeah.
Mandrix.
It's a drug.
Yeah, it's a heavy down from Germany.
That's right.
Like the when dudes went to the army, they
we knew
get
what
a
we
hobby.
Doing. We knew what we were doing.
It was a heavy down. Wow.
I think I still got a guitar case with it spray painted on there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no mystery there.
No, none.
How long this band make it through high school?
You know what?
Because you say you bail at 19.
Well, no, let's see. I bailed there at 19.
Yeah. Oh, but the band keeps going.
No. I think I put I went with another cat. I'll say his name in a minute, but I want to make sure I get my timeline right, because if he hears this, I don't want him to think I don't know what I'm doing here. So, because his picture's right there on the wall, so he's looking right at me.
Mr. Craze?
Oh, yeah, well, that's the name of the band, but Stu Hayden was the bass player. He's 10 years older than I am, so he's always watching over me, man. And I think when he grabbed me, I was still in high school, and I think I was about 2 years to go in high school. So that puts you at about grade 12. Grade 12, there it is there. That's when that's how long they lasted.
Okay. What broke the band up?
Stu.
Okay. Make sure you got that right for him there.
as soon as he got a hold of me, that was it.
Okay, because he's in his late 20s by then. Yeah,
he's 10 years older.
So there's such a gap. Yeah. So, you're still playing though. What's next in your music? Because Mandrix is done.
That's right. And then we got into this band here, the Craze.
Craze. Right. Oh, he takes you in. That's right.
Yeah, but the band wasn't
part of the paper out band.
No. The band was
no. It was. Oh, he's putting it together with you.
With me.
Yeah.
And he said, Shane, why don't you play with me?
And then, he's a Windsor cat?
Yes, he is. Okay. But now he lives in Carmel.
Cali, too.
Yeah. He was doing the CYC, Carmel Youth Center.
Yeah.
They have a music facility in there.
Yeah.
And he's the engineer for that.
Oh, great.
Right.
Respect you, Mr. Stu. Yeah. So you guys put together a band called Craze.
Yeah.
Oh, let's play some more music before we get into the crazy stuff.
That's fine.
Thank you.
never drove, so he never drove alone. Born alone, you die alone. Pull into a truck stop and gallop alone, where every trucker looks like the devil, like pictures of the devil. Like they'd kill you worse than cops, or buy you a beer, two beers, if they knew what you were thinking about. They looking like the devil and killing you or buying you beers. But there's no beer at this stop, so it's only devil killing.
Pedro Show. That was Small Town by Seasick. I think they're from the Bay Area up in Oakland. And Many Birthdays before that with Film. They're Austin. What's in Austin now? South by Southwest. Yeah, I was there last year. That's kind of a weird thing. But Many Birthdays are great people. Kerouac ahead of that with from Spielgusher. Spielgusher, new album I did with Seamus Yuko and Richard Meltzer, big hero of me and Boons. He wrote lyrics for Loistico.
Oh, wow.
But he's done all kinds of stuff. He's an incredible man. He's up in Portland now. And before that was Dose. Oh, new, yeah. Dose album, The Winds of May, the song. I've had this band, Shane, 25 years.
Dose?
It's just two basses.
dos, uno, dos, tres.
How do you get away with two bases on a live performance? How do you do
we
that?
We did one last week in Hollywood. a lot of it's composition. You got to make holes for each other because you're sharing the same kind of narrow frequency.
Wow, how interesting.
It's challenging. It's interesting.
Oh, I bet.
Actually, there's some Train albums where he's using two basses, but he's got all kinds of stuff going on, too. Yeah, like that Ascension and Live in Seattle, there's two basses.
Must be an experience, huh?
Yeah, well, that's why we did it. It's a challenge. Yeah. It's a narrow thing, and you got to make room for each other, almost like playing ping pong.
You knew what you're getting into when you got into it.
On purpose. Yeah. We thought, because bass people are always having to fight a little bit. Actually, not really, because we look good making the other cats look good, but... you don't have to worry about fighting here because it's just us. And then we started with Light and a song called Bond, something brand new they recorded. Light, some amazing, these are cats in their 20s from Tokyo and they can play. Amazes me how some of these young people can tear it up.
Yeah, I'm
tear it up. You know, I believe everybody's got something to teach me. Of course, the older cats, they've been around and got their own, they figured out their own persona, or they're on the road to learning about it. Maybe you never figure it out, you're always on the road to learn. But then the young people too, just because they are going for it, there's some kind of special energy there too. So I try to, from both.
I understand completely. I know, especially like when I was playing with Stu Hayden over there, you know, for when we changed the bands from Mandrakes to Craze.
Yeah.
I noticed that right away. I noticed that being around a musician that had 10-year seniority on you, you might say, as far as public performance or writing or playing or whatever, that there's a certain thing in there that his comfort zone. Yeah. There's a comfort zone. He's got a signature style within that. And yeah. I might not have known exactly to define it, something like that back then, but I knew that there was something that I had to stay there just...
How'd you bump into him?
There was a buddy of mine at one of the Bush Bashes. He knew this cat that fucking was in town and wanted to play a lot, and somehow, some way, I schmoozed my way in there, you know. And I tell you, once I got a schmooze in there, I didn't care how I got in there, I was there, you know.
Right. You know, since we're going to make a band, and you put together this Craze thing.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the Craze trip?
Craze trip was a original music.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember.
So is it more than Bush Bashes? You start playing clubs?
Oh, yeah.
Start touring?
Yeah, he had the club connection.
This is your second man.
That's right.
What about recording?
We did that too.
You never recorded with Man.
No, Mandrakes in a way. You know what? No. Oh. There's a good possibility that there is, but it's not on a...
You didn't go in the studio. Some dudes might have recorded at a Bush Bash.
You know, we all had great cassette players back then.
Yeah.
The Ghetto Blasters, you know, with the microphone
in
it. Yeah. I got recordings of that still.
But you first go in the studio with Stu and
we went to Bullfrog Studios.
Bullfrog.
In Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And in Toronto, we went to...
all the way west. For you people who don't know, Windsor's in the middle. It's near Detroit. So for him to go to... There's actually three mountain ranges to get to Vancouver. I've done it.
Yeah.
The town... Well, I've done it from west to east to go play Calgary from Vancouver. And the first town after the mountains is Pahrump. Banff. No, Pahrump's in Nevada.
Nevada, yeah.
Banff. Yeah, there's a town called Yellowknife that's in the mountains. And then you come down and there's Banff. And it is beautiful. It's three mountain ranges. Well, the Canadians have their own Rockies.
They've got
a couple other ranges, too. And certain times of year, you can't even travel because of avalanches. It's some intense roads, but it is beautiful.
Some of the best skiing, too.
Yeah, and then you come down into Alberta, and it's that's where the prairie starts. And that goes all the way Saskatchewan to Winnipeg, and then things start changing again. But there's this huge prairie, and you want to know cold because there's no... The wind comes right from the pole down there.
I remember going from Toronto to Thunder Bay and up to above that, you know, all the way around Lake Superior.
Yeah.
And getting into Saskatchewan and doing that circuit.
Yeah.
With these guys.
Sure.
And I remember seeing no cars for 150 miles on the Trans-Canada Highway there.
Yeah.
The other way or my way. And I remember I hit a fox one time or across the street. And I thought, bam, I hit him, you know. And I thought, wow, man, that's messed up. I hate doing that. I don't like killing at all. Who would have stopped if I wrecked? Nobody would have, man. There's nobody there, man. But then you get to those little towns.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they come out of the woodwork, man.
Yeah.
They pack those places.
So there was a whole circuit you guys were touring.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you get out to Vancouver and you record. Bullfrogs in Vancouver.
And played.
And played, yeah, of course.
Enough to pay for a condo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, three-story condo.
So you guys started living out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
2 years.
Okay. So you leave Windsor. That's when you left Windsor.
No, that's when we got stuck in Vancouver.
Okay.
Going down, what is it, gas?
You didn't leave Windsor, you got stuck.
Yeah. You know, expensive to take these guys back home.
Good way to put it. Vancouver's a beautiful town. There's the mountains, there's the ocean. Oh, my God.
North Bay, that English Bay, the gas town down there, and then you go to Whistler Mountain.
Gas town's usually, I still play in that area.
You ever played I'm trying to remember the Smiling Buddha.
No, I never played there.
Oh, man.
I played the Starfish Club. I played Richard on Richards.
Orange Number 5, you ever played
Media Club was the one I played last year. I mean, the first time I played there was in 83 or 84. God, what was it called? Town Pump? That's in Gastown. My memory's kind of bad.
Yeah, the black Stallion or something like that was a place down in Gastown that we played. It was just a rough area down there. That's a rough part of town, man. Right. If you're not ready for it,
You gotta be ready.
There's one club I remember, man, watching this band play before us. The guy was a smoking guitar player. I've never forget his licks. But Stu, 10 years older than me, he played Vancouver before. He told me, man, whatever you do, don't sit in the middle. Sit against the wall. In case something happens, you're back against the wall. Yeah, you got an eyeball seat to see what's happening.
Stu's a smart man. You know who had a club there, too? Tommy Chong.
Oh, yes, I did know.
Because I got to meet him, and he told me he got his start up there.
They also got one in Toronto. I remember. I think it's Scarborough.
In those days?
Yeah.
Okay, because he told me when they first started getting together, he had a little club up there in Vancouver. So, you guys got stuck there.
Yeah. I couldn't figure it. Once we had a condo, I know Holly talked me into doing this, but all the dough we were making, it was great. I got an old flyer from back then, it's right over there. We listed out what it would cost per four-nighter, per two-nighter, for accommodations, all the bullshit was all right in our press kit. It was a three-way flyer.
Yeah.
And it worked. Man, we played all over the place. Toronto, we'd go from back and forth there to Toronto.
That's a hell ride.
I flew. They took a train.
Sorry, Stu.
No, what were you saying? You can't believe they got you to...
get a condo.
Okay.
I can't remember, man. I'm 18 years old.
You're not thinking about stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about being responsible for spending money on a condo, period. You know, having paid the monthlies. Yeah. But we lived the life of Riley, too, though.
Okay, and then what happened? Save for the next hour.
All right, fine.
Because you come to the end of the first hour, March 13, 2012, edition of Walk for Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. March 13, 2012, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Michael Del Rico, man, look forward to this video. We remember you, brother. We remember you well. Real well. Union Ironworks, Los Angeles, California. 30 feet in the hole, and his working life, and his family. You get up every morning, every night. Get out on the big island. You get up every morning and every night now. Out on the big island now. What a high it is, yeah. What a rush that it is. Out the big eye. You get high, you get high, baby. Every morning, every night now. on the Big Island. On the Big Island, babe. You got your union brother for you, babe. What a comrade, what a friendship that it is. Yeah, on the Big Island now. You got your friendship, it's a camaraderie now. Yeah, you left on me, baby. You see your family, you like me out of the hole. Yeah, you get high. Every morning, day in and year after year after year. You get hard now. Just a rush flight in the air. And you'd give your left arm now. Give your left arm now. Give your left arm now. Just to see his family and his life. Can't go. And ain't no big hole now. Ain't no big hole now. Make first, I got first, that's gonna bring it out. We're all one. Ain't that the Big Island now? Ain't that the Big Island?
Come on, man.
Like a woman now. You say your brothers are your brothers now. And say your prayers now.
Put them down, by the way.
Talk about each other now. on the big island.
Watt from Pedro Show. We start off the second hour. Shane O'Brien doing the Big Iron. And then No Tools from Robert Pollard after that. He's got a new album. You know Robert, he's got a band called Guided by Voices. Pretty incredible. Prolific. You're talking about you writing a lot. That's Scat, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's great. He's from Dayton. Wow. And then No Spare from Double Dutch Picnic. Cat named Jack is in that band from Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Quebecois, huh? And
Quebecois.
Yeah, he's a sax man for Dirty Beaches. Get this. He gave me the music over here a couple days ago in England.
Yeah.
A cassette.
Oh, really?
Dudes are putting out cassettes again.
Again?
I mean, yeah, for a while they stopped, right?
I mean, you turn to me like
yeah, I know for our day it was, but they stopped for a while there.
They absolutely did.
Yeah, but they're back. I mean, he had a little album cover and everything in the box.
Are they going retro? Is that the
That's
idea?
That's what it is, retro.
Well, I get Burger Records put a lot of them out lately.
And then, Tegabara.
And Burger Records and
Burger, right. Yeah.
Water on the Bridge Records.
And then we heard We Are Not Built to Last by Courtesy. Can't remember where they're from, sorry. But I want to know the story about this Big Iron song.
Well, I had to go to Rose Hills one day. It was during the middle of the week. I had to take off from work. I was a union steward on a job, and word got around in our trade, our union iron worker trade, that let's go to this funeral because it's really important. And what it is a young man had passed away, went 14 floors in a hole. Down at the Caltrans building, downtown LA, when they were doing that the structure. And I knew the people he was working with. I knew the young man because he worked with me before on another job where we did work for Herrick down at Amgen. Well, this was a Herrick job, and it was for, like I said, the Caltrans building down there. And it was just a mistake that happened, man. It was a goddamn tragedy, is what it was. It was just a fucking tragedy. And he was about 28 years old, and went to the funeral, and I'd never been to an ironworker funeral before, and I couldn't imagine me having to go. Well, when I went, Jim Henderson came down from Simi Valley to pick me up, and here we are, we're going to Rose Hills, because that's what I had to do. And there was a bunch of people coming from job sites all over these three counties, L.A., Ventura, Orange, Riverside, and all of a sudden this chapel in Rose Hill was packed to the brim, and we're talking about the most beautiful one down there, that's for sure. And they have a balcony that goes all the way around, like a horseshoe balcony. And I couldn't go downstairs, you know, I just couldn't do it. You know, just because I was in shock about this whole deal. It's a very serious thing.
Yeah.
And up in the balcony, I could hear they had little monitor speakers shook out all throughout the balcony. So you could hear every single little pin drop, every single little whisper when the mom went up and did her... Her speech there. She had mentioned something about the young man. Let the lesson be learned that don't do what your foreman says if there's something dangerous about it, and just make sure that you work safe and all that. So, well, I know the foreman, and the foreman didn't do anything wrong. It was just a tragedy. It was a real bad tragedy, and everybody felt it. We all did, every one of us. And when I left there, I thought, my God, man, first of all, Henderson's got to drive me home. And on the way home, I had him stop within a mile out of Whittier over there and pull over to the side. I said, hey, man, I got to get something to drink. And I was just sitting there thinking about this, and I thought, man, somebody's got to do something about helping or something. And he had a cell phone. I didn't have a cell phone back then. And I said, can I call anybody I want to? And he said, yeah, sure. So I started calling Butch Esvito. I called Jimmy Solo up. I called up Doc Owens up, and I called Tony Cena up, and I asked them if they would just trust me, no matter what they're doing right then and there, to meet me here in the jungle here. And it was set up then like it is today. And so when they came here, they knew that I was, like, I guess they could tell from the tone of my voice that there's something I had to say, and I had to say it now, or else I wouldn't say it right. And they were all here, man. They were waiting for me when I got home. And we opened up the door and pretty much didn't say nothing. And they just got on their instruments, and they just sat there, and they just, hands on their laps, and they kept looking at me and just waiting. And when I figured out I got my tone right, then I just rolled the tape and go, and this is what we come up with. And I ended up putting this on a CD that only had two songs, and I was thinking about the old singles, you know, when you do mark singles. Yeah, and I figured I had written a song for the New York thing, and then this one here would be the other flip side, and I figured that whatever ones I would hawk at whatever gigs and stuff like that, I just pitch it over to the kids, his wife, but they're two young kids, and I figured to help them do something.
Yeah.
I didn't get to hawk enough, I tell you. That's right now, I needed to hawk a lot more, because all of a sudden their family's dying. You know, and we care for, we take care of our own, and I wanted to be part of that picture, you know. And,
beautiful.
Yeah. That's why I say at the end of the song, see what tomorrow brings, and with a new day and a new dawn, you know.
You know, very hopeful.
Yeah. First time I
got
to tell
it. Let's play a little more music, and then I want to hear about what happened with Craze.
Oh boy.
We'll get to that.
You're gonna For all you fascists out there.
Hey, show
on your fascists. By the hurdle four times, you're for fuck's sake. You become offensive, right on cue for me to get all sensitive, but it doesn't matter.
Pedro show, you just heard Kropotkin Vodka, or Vodka, by Pussy Riot. There's a band in Russia of these young women that are intense. Huh. I mean, they'll set up on top of anywhere and just start a gig, you know, with the cops and stuff. Check it out on YouTube. They're called Pussy Riot. They sing in their own language. It's pretty in the face of the bosses there.
I'll look it up and, for sure.
I would say balls out. No, but that is balls out. Even they do got balls though.
Sure, man.
Okay, before that,
they're just on their insides.
Doesn't matter by the Reactor Core Splendid. That's England, man. And then who scored from Toys to Kill? Sam Pedro's Rayo with Todd Congelier.
That's right.
Recess Records. Originally from Torrance, so you know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, professional skater too. Incredible cat. Huh. He's really humble. You wouldn't know because you don't buff no badge.
No tease, man.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot of good cats around here, man. That's why I stay here.
Yeah, there is. And then we start off with Loop Rider by Boris. Now let's get back on this. Craze. You're in the band Craze. You're in a condo in Vancouver. You're a young man under the wing of Mr. Stu, the bassman.
Yeah, Mr. Stu Hayden, by the way.
Stu Hayden.
Right. Stu was telling me, man, hey, Shane, you know, you do realize that Jimi Hendrix played here when he was young. And I was thinking, here at the town, he goes, no, Shane, great, in this club. I said, oh, wow, this is really cool. And then that just generated me to call booking agents and promoters. You name it. If I had the number, I'm calling them. You know, and we were doing gigs, so our flyers were just doing great. And then all of a sudden, we're in Toronto, playing at the Masonic in Toronto down on Yonge Street.
I know that, Pat.
Yeah.
Who did I play with? I can't remember, but I remember that, Pat.
With Iggy Pop.
No,
we did a gig with Iggy Pop back then.
Yeah.
We had a bullseye painted on a...
At the Masonic?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I first heard of him.
Okay. Well, he ended up playing with Canadians. Whitey and his brother on the drums, they were Calgary cats.
I didn't know that.
Alex was his brother. His brother got ran over last year in the desert.
Oh, no.
Harsh. Like, what do you call that? Joshua Tree and stuff. There's these places with no lights and shit.
Oh, yeah. The desert.
In fact, a couple people got run over at the same place.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I know.
But anyway, what happens with Craze?
Well,
so you're in the big town playing Masonic and...
Well, yeah, in Toronto. And then I wanted to go near where my parents were. I wanted them to know that their son played in a band and was playing.
Right.
You know, not just pretending.
Right.
So I said to this booking agent, no matter what, you got to book us in Detroit, and then you got to book us across the river in Windsor.
Yeah.
So that I could invite my parents, so they come over there and see it. But we were partying a lot.
Yeah.
A real lot.
Yeah.
And probably my fault.
Yeah.
You know, in retrospect, when you think about it. And it's okay. You know, you don't regret your life. You ever heard of a guy named Daryl Fields? He's a guitar player.
Yeah.
He does a Jimi Hendrix thing.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Well, he was doing a gig with us back then.
Okay.
I never knew him, but I knew he was coming, and I heard that he was really good, and I heard that he does the Hendrix thing with the two white guys in the background, just like, bam, just like that, right?
Randy Hansen was doing that.
Yeah.
There was another Canadian guy, Frank Marino.
Frank Marino.
Right.
Mahogany Rush.
But anyway, so what you're doing this gig with Daryl?
So Stu tells me, he goes, you got to do good here now. You got to do good. You got to come up with something different, Shane. So we got a cinder block and a piece of 4x4 plywood, wrapped tinfoil around it, nice and neat. You know, I mean, nobody knew that's what it was. And it was right by the little PA system, my big PA system, right next to my amp. And I bored a guitar, a Les Paul off somebody that was a bouncer at the door. And it ended up, I got a little bit of Coke bottle, but a little bit of... leaded gasoline. No, leaded gasoline. and man, at the end of the tune, man, Stu was hiding behind my amplifier with another cord plugged into my SG, and he's ramming the thing in the back of the amp, getting feedback for me. And I got this thing, and I'm just doing a Jimi Hendrix Monterey Pop thing. Just smashing the living dog shit out of it, man. It was splinters all over the place, man. The fire department comes in with the hoses because I lit it on fire, and it's just like wham, right away. But that was the end of the band. That was the end of the band. They were going to put us away, but I got away. And I went to Florida.
Okay, so you leave.
Oh, I just said that on that thing, huh? Oh, I didn't mean to cough up that whole deal.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, I know.
So that's when you leave.
Yeah. Never went back.
And you went to Florida. Now, what made you think of Florida?
It was warm.
Okay. That's why Ig is in Florida,
Canada.
Too. Because same reason why Ig's in Miami. Because Ypsilanti, you know.
Who hadn't been around winter times enough times, man? It doesn't take long to get to...
Wow. Okay. Okay. Let's hear some tunes and we'll get back to continue from Florida.
Yeah.
Adios, Craze.
See you later, Suey.
Au revoir.
my sinky, sounds real kinky. Right before you slip my little twinkie, talk right to you, better get it through you. Kiss my ass is all you gonna do, yeah. Kiss my ass, yes you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass, yes you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass, yes you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass, yes you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Talk to the nation, kiss my aspirations, like the reaction, get a satisfaction. Take your time now, I know you don't mind now. Give me that kiss, you know, real kind. Makes no difference, what's your preference? Kissing my ass is your existence. Just right now, the best example. Pull it out my pants and you give me a sample. What's your preference? Kissing my ass is your existence. Just right now, the best example. Pulling out my pants and you give me a sample. Kiss my stinky, down real kinky. Right before you sip my little blinky. Talk it right to you, better get it through you. Kiss my ass, all you gotta do, yeah. Kiss my ass, yes you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass, yes you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass, yes you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass, yes you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Yes, you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass. Yes, you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass. Yes, you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass. Yes, you can. Kiss my ass all night long. Kiss my ass.
Welcome.
You ready? All right.
Ladies and gentlemen of the present human race,
I'm going to take you on a journey through your mind out into space. On to the future.
I'm the fire and the spark, radiation in the dark.
You have visions to inspire.
Monkeys in the lab are using acid in the speakers. Gemini performs symphonies.
Started that off with Howlin' Wolf doing Smokestack Lightning.
Oh, I love that.
We know about that tune, right?
Oh, boy.
Then FF by Neo. Neo's an Italian band. This cat, Manlio. You gotta see this cat play guitar. He's from a little southwest of Rome called Terracina. This cat don't use a strap. He'll take a chair and put his leg up there and just shoulder it up here, but you never seen a dude jam. I mean, this cat can fly. Wow. Manlio. Signore Manlio. Much respect. I'll see him in the fall when I go tour in Italy again. Amazing guy. Then we heard an Orange County band played in Linda's Doll Hut, and this is where I get a lot of music. Cats just give it to me, you know?
That's
the way it is these days. Yeah, I don't play merch music. You know, it's the stuff that people give me.
Yeah,
and this band, Orange County band called Dick Jerky, and they gave me a song called Kiss My Ass, which is kind of philosophical. This is probably. And then finally where you heard Circus in Their Mind by Roosterhead. I think they're Long Beach. Okay, so you're in Florida now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, Florida was so much fun.
Okay, it's warmer, but I mean, what, you just pointed your finger and started heading towards it? Did you know somebody there?
I took her with me.
What, was that the singer lady?
She played a B3 organ in the craze.
Organ.
And she sang some songs, but I did most of the singing, but she, you know, she sang.
So she bailed with you.
Okay. Well, she could play bass with her feet on the B3.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, come on now. That's the people right there.
Yeah.
All I need now is a drummer.
Okay.
That's what it was.
And she was into Florida, too.
Yeah, for a while.
Okay. What part?
Tampa.
Tampa. St. Pete. Yeah, Clearwater. I know it well.
St. Pete, Clearwater, yeah.
I know it very well.
I lived in a trailer there with my grandma for a little while.
Is that right?
St. Petersburg.
You ever play Skipper Smokehouse down there?
No, Janice Landing, no. State Theater downtown.
Peanut Gallery?
Mm.
Oh, those are fun places, man.
Someplace. Well, it was probably a different era. I can't remember the name. I've been there many times. St. Pete is more the old people's town. It's also, though, got the Salvador Dali Museum.
They've got some clubs down there nowadays that are just smoking.
Yeah.
Partying.
Oh, yeah. I draw a blank. Tampa, usually I'm downtown. That's where the cigar rolling first got going.
Oh, yeah?
There's a bunch of memorials to it there. Yeah, believe it. I shit thee not.
Cigar rolling? Wow.
So for a while, and what's this band called? What, you get a Florida drummer?
Yes. You know, I can't remember his name. There's no way I can remember.
This didn't last long.
No, it lasted until I came to L.A.
So from Florida, you go to L.A.?
Yeah, we're going to leave that one nice and mellow right now.
Okay. That's a good way to end the second hour. We'll pick that up.
Yes.
It's been the second hour of the March 13, 2012 Watt for Beatles show. Hold tight for hour three. March 13, 2012. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's some more Shane.
Get some clothes on. You have been for war now. Of the food now.
kitchen, buddy. In the devil's kitchen, pal.
I'm just saying. This deal is for Mike Watt, a rock concert, the hyphenated man, a drummer from California, a young lad exploring dreams, an old hand at the boat, always an excellent bassist, lights blink back and forth, Watt's amp stands tall still, his knees seem to be okay, thumping the bass around, tight-knit and well-sounding music, there at the High Noon Saloon, the tour goes down, the boat stops here, barely time to greet old friends, try saying hi at a gig, but I love the man, the projects roll on. The attitude is real, straight rocking the DIY and keeping the dream. Going on the road is a fine thing, singing the song of a working man's dream. This feel is for the common man. Joseph Richard Brewer, Madison Sanity, 2012.
People are saying that your new music sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Well, maybe Bob Dylan sounds a lot like me. You know, how come nobody ever asked Bob Dylan why you sound so much like Dewey Cox?
Mailboxes drip like lampposts in the twisted birth canal of the Coliseum. Rim job fairy teapots mask the temper tantrum. Oh, say, can you see 'em? Stuffed cabbage is the darling of the laundromat. The mouse with the overbite explained how the rabbits.
What the hell is this song about?
I have no idea. You guys are idiots. This song is very deep.
Inside the three-eyed monkey, within inches of his toaster oven light.
You want show and tell? Well, the smell of a woman, merely suggested by the stink of me, is often sufficient to make me abandon everything.
Walk for Pedro Show. You start off the third hour again with more Shane and Brian music, Devil's Kitchen. And then we heard Back Show with Remember, Old Woman, Young Man. I think they're Germans. Hamburg. And then Old Man. Kachinas. This is from your pad the other week. We had they're not actually Pedro band. None of those people are from Pedro.
I see.
Some Lameda and some Orange County. Some Carson. Bassman was Carson.
Yeah. You know these guys?
They're called Kachina. Kachinas.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's ladies, and they named the band that, and they have a good time with it.
Absolutely.
But that was at Vinnie Vegas' pad. Then after that, we had Spiel for Mike Watt. Oh, yeah. Jack Brewer's cousin Joe Brewer sent me a poem from Madison, Wisconsin.
Cool, man.
And then Walk Hard by Dewey Cox. There's a story behind The Devil's Kitchen.
Yeah, there is.
Bring it.
Coming from Canada, did you come to live in Southern California here?
Via Florida.
But the four-liter was only like a 2-year stop, so you don't really get the flavor until you really taste it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't get to taste it here until you tasted it for sure. And that's not going to happen in a day or two or a year.
Yeah, yeah.
You give yourself six good years, yeah. And those 5 to 6 good years got to be in the environments where the taste is there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Southern California being in a biker community, you might say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's pretty much what I've always played for, no matter what country, no matter what place. A lot of clubs and stuff. Well, down over here, the clubs got a hold of me for sure. And all of a sudden, man, I'm playing down in Inglewood for the Heathens and fucking Bounty Hunters and some Vargo stuff and some, you know, Mongol stuff, whatever. But I've always playing for the clubs. And when I wrote The Devil's Kitchen, I sure was playing for a club. I don't want to say who, but I was. And there was some violence involved.
A heavy scene.
A heavy scene, oh, yeah. There was a... beware of the food you get in the devil's kitchen.
Yeah.
When the devil's kitchen, what is he doing? What is he doing in his kitchen? He's cooking, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, what is he cooking in the kitchen? It ain't fucking potatoes.
No, he's stirring it up.
He's fucking making batches. You know, it's going on. You know, yeah. 72 hours worth of whatever you got to do. You know, cooking your stew, making your brew, making the crew today, you know? they had me as their entertainment.
Sure.
And to tell you the truth, you know, I still wasn't hip to any of this shit yet. Kind of, sort of, but I don't want to be stupid, but not really. And not the seriousness of it all, at all. You know, it was more like a social kind of a wonder thing.
Yeah.
But they were serious.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Oh, yeah. And when there was a couple of deaths involved, then it got to be... And then a lot of cops were in the environment, you know, a lot of Riverside County sheriffs and shit like that. And when you're out in the middle of nowhere, Sun City in the middle of some mountain overlooking Marietta down the ways, and you take just a 3-mile trek up the mountain, you got to have an ATV to get up there. And then when you're up there, you see 3 big trailers.
How they get these trailers up there? We're not talking bushbags.
How they get these trailers up this road, man? It's impossible, man. You got to have a 4-wheeler, 500 thumper. You need to get up there. How'd they get these goddamn Airstreams up here?
Airstreams?
Yeah, full on. So they got a generator on the side of the mountain here, and I'm playing solo for them.
Yeah.
You know, they went and got me a guitar, they went and got me an amp, they got me a generator, here you go. And they came with Pedro, come and got me, come on out here. So here we are, and I fucking all of a sudden I'm realizing where I'm at. Wow, this is weird. You know? And there was a guy over there, he kept calling, he's saying, my name is Road Dog. I said, Road Dog. Road Dog. What's a Road Dog? I had no clue. Not a clue. Not even a clue. That's when I realized that in Southern California, you can have a dictionary of English, and then you can have another dictionary with those exact same words, hustle, tax, you name it, Road Dog, you know, whatever you want to call
slang.
It.
Slang.
Slang, yeah. Same words, man. Different topic. Man.
People slang slang.
Ooh, man. So when he told me that what was going down at this particular time,
and
he was giving me some heads up. He knew that I was... getting schooled.
Yeah.
For sure. And don't just play music thinking that you're just up here, not around something that might get you a lifetime worth of trouble.
Yeah.
And worse than that is if you do decide to stay and play for these guys, that if something happens, it could be something that'll affect you forever. For example, an old lady get popped or somebody, you know, who knows what could happen.
Yeah.
And ended up where my best friend got killed. And I tell you, man, there's a reason why I've been playing this blues stuff, you know, and not just because of the Bees and the Buddy Guys and the Howlin' Wolves of the world and the Sun Houses of the world, I love them all so dearly, but as a man, you get your own stories, and if you're real with yourself, you can say them. And
yeah.
The Devil's Kitchen is that. I remember reading off of Leonard Skinner, you know, Give Me Back My Bullets,
and
Ronnie Van Zant was saying, you know, that's not about load my gun. It's about give me back my bullets so you don't use it to shoot anybody.
Yeah, right.
You don't stop the shooting. Same with the beware of the food in the devil's kitchen. It's a heads up, guys, man. You start doing this shit and you might get hooked on it. And if you get hooked on it, it might take you 50 years to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Not 18 months of rehab. It might take you 10 years and 2 wives. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Beware of the food in the devil's kitchen. Now understand, you have just been forewarned. I just warned you. Straight up. That's what the lyrics are about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some times when I played that, people in the audience, they knew exactly what I was saying. Exactly. And they'd come up to me after the show, and they wanted me to know that I knew. They would give me a piece of paper of some kind that have a note on it, you know. Oh, you know.
I know.
And so we're on the same page. We're on the same page, brother. Pedro Brothers.
Pedro Brothers. Wow. So this kind of fits in with the move to California. This happened after a couple of years here?
Yeah.
Okay. You got into ironworking.
Yeah, you know, playing at these other cities and other states, yeah. Other countries, other cities there. When you're out of California, I'm sure you know this. When you're out of Southern California,
yeah.
You can command a dollar.
Yeah.
You get paid. They'll have us. You know, there'll be facilities over there where you're gonna be required to have an SPA, some lights. You know, you're gonna have to have a show going on to do this little circuit. That's all there's to it.
Yeah.
Because that's what they have. That's what they expect.
Yeah.
In Southern California, not only do they not expect that, you can just blow them off by just having a small little chink-ass shit SPA. You know, I got one in here. But you know, put it on a set of tripod and here you go, you know what I mean? But they don't pay you. I mean, come on, man. I played Harold's probably for 12 New Year's have gone by. I bet you I've done 9 of them.
Okay.
Right?
For you people on the radio, Harold's is one of our more classy establishments here in San Pedro. I think it's been here since early 50s.
50.
And
three or like that.
Shane has done a lot of gigs at Harold's.
Yeah, you absolutely.
I've played some gigs. Yeah, but he's got it on me.
Joe, we saw you send Bat's birthday.
That's right, huh?
Yeah,
that's not long ago.
No, it's a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
So what you're saying is the iron worker, you had to look into this.
I didn't. Well, at my gigs was bikers and iron workers.
Yeah.
I didn't know I had iron workers there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but a lot of bikers are bikers.
Sure.
Chuck McGinnis.
Sure.
Had full dresser, you know. Coming over, big beard, burly guy.
That was the connect. Okay. Yeah.
Well, they asked me if I wanted to make a living while I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Because they knew that I was hurting.
Yeah.
So they asked me if I'd join the apprenticeship no matter what.
Yeah.
And I was an older guy then, you know, than the rent. I wasn't 19 years old when they would take them in. And you get these young bucks that are 19 and 28 years old. They're full of piss and vinegar, man. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, they're good young men.
Yeah.
Strong. Well, at 37, I did that.
Wow, dude.
So I did my whole apprenticeship like that.
Yeah. But you never stopped with the music.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. All that did was, hey, man, ever since 1997 to this very day, every penny that I've made as an iron worker has gone for a roof over my head, some clothes on my body, some food in my belly. I learned to have insurance for a car. I've never had a new car. But it's all gone into this music. All 24 albums, all the gear that you see in here, or the people that have come in here to get paid to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
Well, here's some music, and then I want you to play for us here in the jungle live.
Okay? That'd be fun.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd love to do that for you, Mike.
Shot first, the other wouldn't budge. Well, you're climbing up a mountain. You can't see me. Some folks, they like to wear all black. Some folks like to wear white. But I try to stay undressed and stay up every night. Well, you're climbing up a mountain. You can't see me. I used to own a barber shop, I want it in a hand. But now the tax is too damn high, I have to get back to the land. Well, I'm climbing up a mountain, you can't see me. Most fans big screen like you've seen on TV. Never even put it up, found out it don't suit me. Well, you're climbing up a mountain, you can't see me. Portland, though I never liked the rain. Never bought a raincoat, my own self left the plane. Well, you're climbing up a mountain, you can't see me. Well, she hated me,
I swear to God, so much she couldn't see. She had a cold, dead, hard stare and drove a hearse to tea. Well, you're climbing up the mountain, you can't see me.
Pedro Show. You just heard Infinity, Infinity, Infinity by the Sunburned Hand of the Man. I think they're Western Massachusetts.
Okay.
And before that, we had some live Creedence from Fillmore West, 1970, Fortunate Son. That guy could play some guitar.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, you know he's still playing? In fact, his road manager is a Pedro dude.
Really?
Yeah, what's his name?
Leo Rossi.
That's it.
Wow, man.
That's it. And ahead of that, we had Flight of the Paintbrushes by Ott. That's Chris Groger in Austin, Texas, another Texan man. And then Mountain by John Wayne, bro. So what you had to do was do your apprenticeship, get in the iron workers.
Yeah.
But you're still doing music.
Yeah.
Ah.
You know what happened then? I turned into two people.
Okay.
Franz Kafka,
the two desks.
I had to.
Yeah.
Or else, and then plus you have to get double the energy.
Yeah, right.
If you don't have double the energy, one's not going to happen.
Sure.
And you also have to have double the faith and belief.
So music man, nighttime, daytime Iron Man.
Yeah. So what the newspaper wrote? Iron worker by day, blues man by night.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. But, now, when you were doing these Devil Kitchen gigs, this is you solo. So no band?
Yeah, at first.
Okay.
At first.
Then you start putting together band of what? Pedro Guys, South Bay Guys?
Pedro Guys.
Yeah, Pedro Guys. Okay.
Yeah, with Jimmy Solo.
Jimmy Solo, you had a man.
Yeah. My biker buddy of mine down here took me to see somebody.
Yeah.
That has had a studio and was always there, and I didn't have any gear. And he goes, you can't just do nothing. I'll take you to a place where I guarantee you he'll record you, or else I'll break his arm.
Those tales.
Yeah. I told you, man, I hang out with that crew.
Yeah. Okay.
Jesus. Don't piss Shane off.
So he so maybe he really wanted to record you. I don't know.
He didn't know me.
He didn't know.
So he had no choice. Okay. When we walked in there, that's what Bob said. I met Big Bob. His name's Big Bob, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy had guitars like this. Matter of fact, that stand, that little holder, comes from him.
Okay.
And when I took the guitar off the wall, I took the holder eventually, too. But, but anyway, He just goes like this. He leans backwards, and he's still at his mixer, and he's got his keyboard there, and he's like, he points at the wall. He goes, pick up that. And I didn't know what he was talking about. He says he wouldn't give me the time of day for the first 10 minutes I was in there. And then all of a sudden, he's just pointing, you know. Okay, picks it up, and I pick it up, and I play something. Come on, let me hear you.
Wow.
And then I wrote a song about Bessie Peterson from Walker's Cafe.
Yeah.
Right then and there. I called it Made in the Shade. Cool. Way cool.
Where was his studio?
It was on Shepherd Street.
Did Pedro?
Yeah.
Shepherd, yeah, by the water.
Yeah. It was perfect, man. Perfect.
Right by Walker's.
Right by Walker's.
There's a lot of hidden. Yeah, right. Not far from Walker's.
Yeah.
A lot of hidden stuff in Pedro.
There is. There's more hidden stuff than I think that we even know of, because
I didn't know there was a studio down there.
Well, it was pretty private, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. Although there was some people that went in there. They were cool. Danny Tams, man, he plays everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like you know, he plays everywhere. We're all these good guys, you know. And, he went in there and he joined me on that track. He just from a call that Jimmy made that night.
Wow. Yeah. That was your first time recording Pedro at a studio?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the start of something. That was the start of phase two in life.
Yeah.
Phase two in Shane's life.
Yeah.
First phase was all the way up, going through that, all through that education, all that learning, all that maturity, and then phase two started then. This is phase three right here today.
All right.
Just so you know. It's definable.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Phase three. Wow. So phase two,
24
just to continue with the story, yeah. 24 albums.
Right, there's 20 of them right there.
From phase two to phase three, yeah.
There's 20 of them right there.
And
right up there?
Looking at the jungle here, you don't have to go into people's studios anymore. You do it here, right?
Jimmy set me up after that with some gear right away.
Okay.
As soon as he mixed it the next
day. So another apprenticeship. Now this.
And then the
studio apprenticeship.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. Yeah. Matter of fact, the recorder is right there. I still keep it. It's a 4-track Tascam.
Okay.
I got a milk crate of masters. From that milk crate, a lot of original ideas I had.
Yeah.
I pillaged from it, and I made this these solid gold treasure chests.
Sure.
I call it the trilogy thing.
Uh-huh.
It's got 32 songs written from the day I quit the Disney Concert Hall to come to my boat to work on the studio that Jimmy put
on. We got to tell people about that.
It's awesome.
You listeners there, I got to play with Shane at the Disney Concert Hall. Was it 2006?
2006, March.
March. It was Mr. Glenn Branca's Symphony No. 13, Hallucinacious City. He came to town, ended up with 64 guitars, 20 bassists, one drummer.
Awesome.
And
at the Disney Concert Hall.
Disney Concert Hall. It was 3 days of heavy crack.
Oh, God.
Okay, because this was a piece. I bet you never did that, reading the music and all this. That was pretty wild.
Mike, the gig came to me through you. I did not know how to read music.
Well, Glenn, wanted to reach out and get people on board, so I put the word out.
How awesome. It is the most premier favorite memory I have, period. Bar none. Just the whole experience.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to read. And all those cats in that group.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They all went to college and stuff. A lot of them did. Come on now.
Shit, yeah.
They were smart guys.
In the school life, like Nels Klein. Now I remember him being there. Yeah, totally.
He was there, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was, you know, I got sick on the last day of the prac. I had to do the gig in a fever.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but there's no way I was staying home. I did that thing in a total fever.
Remember how they wouldn't let anybody take pictures or cameras?
Yeah.
In there?
Yeah.
Well, I had a couple of my crew go down there, and some little chick ain't going to tell these guys not to take any pictures. That ain't going to happen. And I got some pictures of us. I didn't have pictures of both of us. We're
oh, wow.
On the ovation, you know? You had your plaid red shirt on.
I had a red flannel on, remember?
I had my red, white, and blue.
I think it's right here.
Oh, yeah, there you are.
Shit, that's it.
Look, you guys get the same mustaches.
Wow. Yeah, because I remember there was a room in the back. I think that's after we're done.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, did you remember what I did at the Journey of Oz? Did you catch that? Because the basses were, you know, there's so many people in the orchestra. You're like way back there.
I was right next to the drummer.
But I was right in front of
you guys. John. Were in sections of fives up front.
I was the one row back in front of John.
Yeah.
our conductor?
Yeah, yeah, John Meyer.
And I was one seat away from the center aisle that takes you right to him.
Yeah. So, well, I was kind of in the center, too, because I was right next to Virgil.
I was right.
But I was way behind you guys. We were up in the back with him.
I don't know if you can imagine this, but stealth mode. Just remember this term for the moment. Stealth mode.
Stealth mode.
Yeah. Well, as an iron worker, especially working at the concert hall, and then playing with the band that's in a sold-out show.
You helped build this band.
Oh, yeah. Then it's one of the most weirdest buildings in the whole wide world that's ever been built on iron, that's for sure.
Right.
And
Frank Gehry.
Oh, yeah. And so imagine the iron worker. Now, you got to know that I had to say to the iron workers that were there that, hey, there's an iron worker in the crew here in the band.
Right.
So I brought my Carhartt jacket with the, it's got a great Mad Max
a
big logo on the back. So I put it on the back of the chair. And I remember I wore my safety glasses and I put my flag shirt, my red, white, and blue, that I'm so proud of. And I don't know how to read, so I bluffed the whole thing, the whole gig, that's for sure. And so when the guy beside me was flipping his pages, I would take my page and I'd just flip it and I'd fling it in the air like a cartoon, you know? That's why I got the glasses. Nobody could see that I was looking like that thing then. And I did that to like all 50 of those pages.
It was trippy guitar, too, which three E strings.
Oh man, I think we had three E strings and there was only two different kinds of strings on our altar once. Only two different kinds.
Different groups had different strings. Us bass guys were standard,
tuning was all
but
the
these
same.
Guys,
the tuning was all the same.
Right.
No,
alternative tunings are a bitch.
No. I mean, all the strings.
It was first piece, you know. It was first piece.
All the strings were the same tuning, no matter if it was a B or an E. It would all be E tuning. They would all.
Yeah, like a slide tuning.
It would all sound like that. No. They all had that tone, the contra pitch.
Really?
On E, yeah. Yeah. Wow. I tell you what, it's the most coolest experience a musician could ever go through.
Yeah, it was. It was absolutely.
Check that out on YouTube or something.
No, it's not there.
No, it ain't.
They have not released
There was no recordings of it made.
I've
in a way, I don't know how they could have because the sound was from so many places. Where would you put the mics?
Outside.
You know, if you think about it, Mike, I don't know where it was. It's funny to be able to talk about this with you today.
Yeah.
The sound for me, where I was, it was like a wave coming through.
It was
sound.
For me, too.
Okay, so did it hit the wave hit you after it hit me?
Yeah.
So it flowed like that?
It was, and bouncing around the room. It was a trip. It was surreal for me.
Yeah.
It was one of the most amazing experiences for me, and I've done a lot of gigs too.
Yeah.
But it was quite an honor for me and unforgettable.
Awesome.
And to share it with you is bitching.
Oh yeah.
Shane's got his acoustic guitar here. Is there a story behind his Martin? It's got a lot of people's name on it.
Oh yeah.
I got to sign it once.
Did you? Yeah. Well, you might have signed that other one because this one here is like a. There's been a couple of these, but this one here's been put this way. Before you leave, you sign it again.
No worries, dude.
Yeah. Rod Wiggins at Hope Chapel on 9th Street in Pacific heard that I needed a guitar, and I didn't have any instrument at all. He didn't know who I was, but he came down to find me, and he handed me his Martin.
Damn. Wow, dude, a Martin, too.
And he goes, I know, I've had this thing for 17 years. Yeah. He goes, I just know God told me to do this. And to give it to you because I think that you need something to help you say what you got to say.
Bitch and man.
Was he right
respect
or right?
Him.
Was he right?
Respect him.
The place over there where the old YWCA is?
Where the old bowling alley
is. It used to be called Gay 90s Bowling Alley. Old days, I swear. That
was
his name.
I'm older.
Back when gay
you remember? No, I think it was... Whatever, I didn't mean to light you up on that.
Sorry. Keep it mature.
Drop the quarter in the machine. Anyway, Brother Shane's going to play for us on this... gift, Martin, that you've had a number of years now, here live at the Jungle here on Watford Peter, so bring it to us.
All right.
Call it a day now. Think about you hit me. Think about it in a way, but I got
She came to a Harold's gig. I took her down to the boat where I was, and I knew it was just going to be a friendly little hi-hi. And I put headphones on her, and the tape that I did that I kept when I wrote it, I remember she was going like this with her head, with her hands, you know? And she put her head down like this,
yeah.
And then she started crying. And then she goes, and I said, why? And she goes, I know exactly what you're saying, and I'm sorry. It's gonna hurt me so bad, yeah. And you know it's true, baby.
Yeah, you know
it's
true now.
So you really got it coming, darling. And you know it's gonna hurt me so bad, baby. Working so hard, baby.
Bring my hope, baby, you know.
But ain't that just the way life's meant to be for me and you, baby? Oh, but you're so young, baby. You know, you're just too blind to see what's happening in your life all around you now. Yeah, you know, too, baby. You're just so young, baby. You're just so blind, too blind. See what's happening to your life all around you now. Baby.
so young and go down to Southern California.
Jungle is first time for me, the jungle.
Yeah.
And getting to hear you play, getting to hear you about your musical journey. Very interested.
Like, the music's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a, yeah. And it's something we get to share, and it's a fabric.
It's a language.
Between us. Yeah. Like, interesting flavor.
And every different flavor of music.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Every different flavor of genre, or whatever it is, a different dialect.
And that's really, you know what I've learned? I'm only 54, but.
Eating the balls.
Everybody's got something to teach me.
And it's a language to say.
Yeah, that's what I've learned.
That's right.
I've learned. And I feel very honored to come to the jungle and hear about your story and hear you play.
I love
you. Do that for your son like that is beautiful.
Yeah.
And down to him. So I want to thank you. Brother.
Thank you, man.
Be on March 12th. It's March 13th.
13th, yeah.
Right, we had a leap year.
I like my life, man. Thank you.
2013 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. Truly my honor. We'll have you on again. Play some album number 25.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't even get to Shane.
No, I know.
We'll get to it. I see Shane up there. Okay, people, it's been the Watt from Pedro Show, March 13th, 2012. Keep your powder dry.